And welcome back to School Spirit on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew with Miss Robin Spencer.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hope y'all are having a wonderful Easter and enjoying the octave. But I do want to say thanks again to everyone who participated in our Spring Pledge Drive. Tremendously successful. We had an incredible week. And without the help of all of our volunteers and all of our listeners and the support from all of our donors, we could not have made it happen. And we really, really appreciate that. And a special thanks to all of our incredible guests who came and shared their story about the power of Catholic radio. But our focus for this week, for School Spirit this week, is to really kind of dig into a special group of teachers that I'm using air quotes, new teachers, because what we're going to find out is some of them are not as new as we would normally think about. We'll get into their stories here a little bit. But joining us today is Miss Stacy Ochoa and the dynamic duo of Teresa and Rob Fix. Thank you all for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So I guess what we'll do here is kind of give each of you a little chance to give us kind of a thumbnail, bio, sketch, introduce yourselves properly. And Stacy, we'll just start with you, if that's all right.
All righty. My name is Stacy Ochoa. This is my first year here at St. Mary's Catholic School. First year officially having my own classroom, which is really nice. I've done a little bit of subbing in the past, both for public school and for St. Mary's here, which it's kind of opened my eyes to see the differences between the two, which is really nice as well. I'm also a parent here for St. Mary's. My son is in the pre-K-4 class, started with pre-K-3 and now is in pre-K-4. So being a parent first and then a teacher is a really interesting perspective. My dad retired military out of Fort Hood, so we have been here since 2000. Did a little stint of the military myself, did 10 years in the Air Force. That was where I've really found my passion for teaching through my experience there. And Texas is home, so came back here.
Awesome. Well, good. Teresa?
I'm Teresa Fix, and this is my first year, like Stacy, at St. Mary's Catholic School. I retired from public education last year. I kind of came into education late in life. Okay. I became a teacher when I was 30. And so I spent 21 years in Clean ISD as a teacher and a curriculum specialist and moved to Waco for 4 years as a reading specialist, a curriculum specialist on a campus where during the pandemic, I got to sub in like 9 classes a day. Plus, I had to run classes on top of my job and ended my career with Temple ISD, where I was the secondary English and social studies specialist for high school. And the last year there, I got to teach 2 sophomore English classes because we didn't have teachers. So I decided to retire because I'm with this man who retired himself from public education after forever in Killeen, and I got to hear about his wonderful experience every single day of teaching at St. Mary's, and a position opened up, and I jumped at the chance to come be able to be back in the classroom and really be able to teach again, which has just absolutely been amazing for me, and I love it every day.
So, Rob, on that note, over to you.
My name is Rob Fix, and I taught in public school for 28 and a half years. Traveled around, did a couple of other things before that, but realized that I was already doing the teaching thing, and so it just kind of was a natural evolution to step into a classroom. But when I did, I didn't want to use textbooks. I didn't want to have that traditional classroom. My focus from day one was to build good humans and to give them an experience of history. And so I wore costumes and brought in artifacts and pushed the textbooks and the desks off to the side. We sat on the floor around a campfire and lived history. And for the first few years, it was incredible. I had principals that would allow me to do that, and then it just slowly started to die. The STAR test came in, politics came in, and little by little, they started taking away, you know, that love of teaching. And so 3 years ago, I found out by accident that I could actually retire, and I had never thought about that. I figured I'd die in a classroom. And by accident, they said, you know, you could have retired back in August. This was December. And I was shocked. I was like, I didn't know. And so I prayed about it a lot and decided May is going to be it. I'm going to finally step away. And somebody said, what are you going to do now? And I had no plan B. I was done and fully cooked with education. I thought education in the public world is dead, and was almost happy to see that. And so kind of on a lark, somebody said, why don't you try, you know, Catholic school? I was like, well, okay, one, I know I can't afford to live on a Catholic school education. And then I looked at it and was like, well, I'm retiring, so I'll have that. I was driving 120 miles a day commuting. And so I worked all of that out. And I was like, okay, so I could actually survive on a Catholic salary. But I looked here. This is the only school I looked at. And the mission statement looked like I wrote it. And it was a shock. It was like that I'd been screaming that for 30 years and nobody would listen to me. So just on that lark, I applied. St. Mary's called, said, would you like an interview? I was in South Dakota sitting in my dad's office. We have a teepee, and I was actually going to do the interview in the teepee just as a joke, but we couldn't get the internet to reach that far. So I interviewed.
That's a story for another day. Yep.
So
he used to teach
it. I was actually in historical clothes during the interview. That's and awesome. Had all weird stuff behind me. And they said I got hired in the first few minutes. And we actually got cut off. There was a 15-minute limit, and I was in mid-sentence, and it just went away. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's over. And they called and offered me the job.
It had to be a little bit intimidating for it just to kind of end like that.
Yeah, it literally just went blink and it was gone.
Yeah. The first thought had to have been, well, that was a fun interview. They won't call
I got up and walked out. I was like, that was it. So I was officially retired for 1 week.
Wow.
And hired on with St. Mary's and have loved it ever since. I'd go home and I had nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
And my mouth was constantly open. The principal at that point had to keep saying, close your mouth, because I was like, at recess, you know, I'm watching kids actually play and be kids, and I got a chance to actually make good humans again.
And you've been here now how long?
This is my third year.
Third year. So Teresa Wiles was the principal.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's the one that hired me. Yeah. She met me in the parking lot and gave me a hug. I hadn't even got out of the truck yet. And it was from that moment everything was just chips away. So I'd go home and she'd come home complaining and I'd have 30 minutes of just complaint. And I was like, I don't have any of that. 3 years, I have not heard a single kid cuss. And I mean, I could swear on that right now. I have not heard a single kid cuss for 3 years.
Whereas I could hear 300 cuss words in the first 10 minutes of being on a campus.
I would drop her off in the morning and could hear it in the car.
Yeah.
They were that loud.
I mean, it was that bad. Nonstop profanity, drugs, sex. Excuse me. I should probably shouldn't have said that. But just the stuff that was going on, even in Waco or, you know, that was out of control in other campuses, it's just, it's mind-boggling what kids are being exposed to. And to hear him talk about that and just to sit there every day and watch these kids play with each other and have recess, and you don't hear that. And it's beautiful. On top of everything else, you can also talk about God and pray with them and just teach them to be wonderful human beings. And I'm just now, I was one of those people that was, I'll be honest with you, I've worked for Avid for 18 years. I trained teachers all over the country on how to get kids who historically are underrepresented in universities to get them to universities. And I will say I was anti-voucher until probably the past 3 or 4 years when I saw public school just bottom out and kids are not getting the education needs that they have met, and we're not getting the qualified teachers in classrooms, and it's all about testing and it's not about the whole kid anymore. When we first came into education, I mean, the question was like taking care of kids' emotional needs, and there's no time for that anymore in public school. And we get to do all of that here. On the way home, we get to talk about if a kid felt sad today, did you notice so-and-so is sad? And then we figure out like, how can we take care of this kid tomorrow to make sure they're okay? And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Wow, that is a
wonderful experience. Go ahead.
It truly is. And that is just, it's glowing, and it's wonderful to hear because you all are glowing with your assignments. So let's talk about your assignments for a little bit. So Rob, you kind of gave us a hint that I think you teach history is, okay, and what levels, what grade levels?
6, 7, 8.
Okay.
Traditionally, I always taught 8th grade and usually the gifted, you know special needs kids on the upper end of it. That started to go away, and now I get 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and it's all of that mixed together. And we've got autistic kids sitting next to a kid who would be gifted and talented, kids that read well sitting next to kids that don't read well, and so I get to
that total integration that you dream of, yeah. and you yeah. really it, you know that it's the best for the children. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And y'all missed it. We've been talking about the Cold War, and I showed them the Bert the Turtle videos and all of that, and so I set off an air raid siren just before I walked in here to test them to would they react if they heard it, and they were on the stairwell going to lunch. And they went diving in all directions from second floor down to the first floor.
It's great to watch them. It's hilarious. Yeah.
So I got them before spring break. I got them at recess, and tomorrow I'll get them on the way back from church.
Tell me there's video of that somewhere.
We need video. I'm going to have to film
tomorrow,
it.
Tomorrow's your last chance.
It, yes. So, but. And they laugh. They love it. Oh, just yeah, watching yeah. them experience. It's yeah. really neat.
That's yeah. so great. So you truly are immersed in that experiential learning for the kids.
Well, that's the only way they're going to remember. Yes. And I had to, years ago, I had to swallow the bitter pill that kids this age don't care about history. And my dad taught me, if you can figure out one spark 20 years from now, that kid's going to be watching the History Channel or whatever and go, oh, I remember that. You win the fight. Mm-hmm. And so my job isn't to cram names and dates down their throats. It's to give them that one little life thing that at some point they're going to remember, you know, they're going to get up and their knee's going to be sore and go, remember when I hit a rock on the playground, you know, diving from a nuclear bomb, yeah. And I win.
Well, that's so. Really great. And you especially use your dad legacy, your dad's words, the oh, yeah. wisdom
every
to,
day,
to guide
every day.
You. That's
every
great. Yeah. That's wonderful. So you do 6th, 7th, and 8th. So you get the opportunity to do lots of different segments of curriculum then, mm-hmm. because the curriculum looks a little different for history for each of those grade levels, correct?
Correct.
Wonderful.
So, and my plan is to out-teach myself. We did this with her class, with Stacy's class, where they came up on a field trip, and my kids taught them about Egypt. And so my plan is to take the middle school kids and actually use them to teach the lower level kids.
Love that.
And that be our assessment, but now we've got the integration of, you know, one grade to another grade. And
yes. And they truly say, if you can teach it, you know it. Mm-hmm.
And
that's
they,
wonderful.
They did
that's
a spectacular wonderful. Job of it.
All right.
So I just provide the toys.
Great. That's wonderful. All right, Teresa, how about you?
English, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And he's a hard act to follow and always has been. I've known him since he's been teaching. Yeah, and I used to watch him teach in a teepee.
She's been stalking me for 20 years.
So, yeah, so I've always had that experience of watching him. And, you know, English, of course, kids are like, oh, like right now we're doing poetry. And they're like, no, not poetry. But I get to teach English. And our goal this summer is to kind of try to do a humanities curriculum for next year. And so our goal is to sit down and really hash out what is 6th, 7th, and 8th grade doing and what documents and what stories and poems and art can I bring in to support what the kids are learning in history so that we're tying it all together. Because, of course, same thing. That's how kids get attached to the content that you're teaching. And you, if you're passionate about it, they're going to be passionate about it. And if they're getting it from both of us, how can we fail to succeed?
Right, and it's great to do that thematic yeah. across yes. content areas. Yes. That's
and
wonderful.
We do a lot of discourse, firmly believe in a lot of collaborative discourse, Socratic in nature,
okay.
and really getting the kids to teach each other. Reciprocal teaching is so important. And so that's our goal, increase that vocabulary, increase the ability to have that discourse and get them ready for problem solving and getting out there in the world and just figuring things out for themselves because we've taught them everything they needed to be successful. And so that's our goal.
Wonderful, wonderful. Stacy, how about you?
I am the second grade teacher here. So I get to do all of the subjects with my class, which is fun and challenging because it's not just one specialty. It's making sure that you're covering everything. But also, second grade is a huge year because it is a sacramental year. So most of the students are receiving the First Holy Communion. And I think that alone being able to incorporate that into all of our subjects, because you can bring religion into the classroom, which has been absolutely wonderful. But as both have the fixes have stated, like, we're looking at the whole child. Mm-hmm. So not only are we making sure that they're, you know, blossoming in these subjects, but we are also bringing them closer to Christ. And we are also, like, incorporating all of this within the classroom. So it's been a wonderful experience.
That's great. And so do you all teach religion within the content area of your class, or is there a separate religion class for the grades?
There is a separate religion class all across the school, but yours is isolated, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we've never been able to do that. You know, I could put a Bible verse on the board as a motivational tool, but I actually get to stop and say, what would Christ have done in this situation? Where is the Catholic Church in the American Civil War? What was the Pope thinking when we hit World War I? It's a whole new level for me. And the writings, I can, as long as I'm using the same language she is in her language arts class, you know, I can tie that together. She can use the same documents, but time and time again, we can stop what we're doing and say, okay, if I want to talk about the American Revolution, what about this whole separation of church and state? You know, Thomas Jefferson mentioning God five times in the Declaration of Independence. You know, is this real, or, you know, were we really created as a godly country? So that's a beautiful thing for us that I can do that, and then I can turn and say, well, you know, go to Mr. Smith's class for religion, and then he's going to hammer that point home.
That's great. Teresa, do you get to do literature that's both, I guess, secular in content as well as religious in content?
Yes, I do. And I actually get to read whole entire novels, which is unheard of nowadays.
That's so true.
In public education. I know when I taught fourth grade, we had a parent who's like, my child can't read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because we're Christians. And I'm like, it's an allegory of the life of Christ and C.S. Lewis. And that's why I get to, you know, it's like you can't really talk. I know, right? You can't really talk about those things in public education, much less read novels. Or now everything's an excerpt.
Yeah.
Everything's like a, you know, a short reading, and everybody's scripted. The curriculum nowadays is scripted. So every kid is getting the same meat and potatoes without any variety. And I get to read novels. So I got to read The Hobbit and talk about J.R.R. Tolkien and the fact that he was a Catholic. And, you know, we get to talk about poetry, and if they mention something about sacrifice, we can talk about, you know, if I read The Lamb and the Tiger, I can talk about the fact that the lamb is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the tiger is the part of us that isn't great, the part of us that sins. And I get to actually have those conversations. And what's absolutely amazing is the diversity we have in our classroom, because we actually got a student here who was turned away from another school because they weren't a Christian. And so we get them here. They don't have to be Catholic to be with us. And so we get to share it with every child that walks through the door. And that amazing ability to reach children who otherwise wouldn't be reached. And I love the openness and the welcomeness of our community here.
Folks, if you're just now tuning in, this is School Spirit, and we are talking to Stacy Ochoa and Teresa and Rob Fix, who are teachers here at St. Mary's in Temple. Again, using air quotes, new teachers, new to the Catholic world, I guess is a better way to approach it. But anyway, if you missed the first part of today's program, you can always tune back in on Sunday at 12 o'clock. Or if you're caught all this and you want somebody else to hear it, tell them to tune in on Sunday at noon, and we'll rebroadcast an encore presentation of today's episode. And we do that every week. So if you missed the Friday, you can always pick it back up on Sunday. So go ahead, Robin.
Well, Stacy, how do you... Is there a word or words to describe how you feel about being able to bring your Christianity into your teaching? I know for me it would be freeing.
Absolutely freeing. But I also feel like this has made me a better Catholic, because as we've mentioned, you don't know something truly until you start teaching it. And having those like story times where we're like discussing the Bible or just like teaching religion in the classroom, and then having a perspective of a second grader. So you have 7, 8, possibly 9 year olds asking you these questions that your brain is not thinking the same way as theirs is. They bringing a whole new light, a whole new perspective. They're hearing this for the first time and they start asking you these questions and you're like, I never thought of it that way. You know what? That's an excellent question. Let's research this together. But then I'm having to do the extra homework because I would like to know, you know what? I didn't think about it that way before. Let's go ahead and find this out. Let's discuss it as a class and let's get everybody else's perspective on this as well. So as a Catholic person, this is making me a better Catholic because I feel like I'm diving more into it. I want to bring their knowledge even greater to them what they've already gotten, but it's also making me do the research, do the investigating, and being able to be that person for them. So
while we're on that note, then what was the impetus for you to you had mentioned that you taught or substituted in the public world, so in a public school world, what was the impetus for joining the school here?
So, my husband had just retired from the military and, we had purchased our house, out in Eddy and we were looking for a church family. So we had tried a couple of churches out in Waco and it just wasn't fitting. So we stumbled across St. Mary's. So the church was what greeted us first. Mm. As soon as we walked through the doors, there was, hey, how are you? We haven't seen you before. Like, what questions do you have? How can we make you?
Wait, Catholics don't do that.
Oh, let me tell you what. Like instantly, like it just felt like so welcoming. Like they wanted us to be here, it's a great feeling, especially because neither my husband or I have family in the local area. So being able to have that like within that community, like it's so warm feeling. Mm. So like they brought us in. So while we were kind of getting into the church, they had the spring festival and the booth was set up for the school. So we started asking questions because Maverick, my son, was reaching the age to join preschool. So we were just like, okay, we'll go ahead and ask questions. So you were not inconveniencing them by any means. They were like, let me talk to you about our program, like super into it, super like just excited to talk to us. So they're giving us the curriculum. They're letting us know that this is pre-K to eighth grade, which is really cool because it's all encompassing here just within one facility. So they're breaking down what the curriculum is, even for the youngest of them. And so my husband and I had a sit down conversation and we're like, what do we want for our child? Do we want them just to go to school to learn? Mm-hmm. I'll use air quotes for that one, to learn what the state is requiring them to learn. Or do we want him to grow as an entire person? Not just educational, but like faith-based as well. And we know that that's really important for us. So we want that to obviously be instilled in our children as well. There's only so much that we can do at home, but knowing that it is being reinforced in the classroom as well is such a great feeling. As a parent, like you know that your child is getting the best of both worlds. So I was a stay-at-home mom with Maverick. And when he went to school, I was like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I can only do so much laundry and cleaning in the house. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I saw that they were hiring for subs. Well, I've had experience subbing before. I had the educational background. So I was like, all right, let's go ahead and put my name in the hat, see if I can start subbing. Got called. And as a sub here, so I've done public. And it's literally like, oh, here's a week worksheet to keep them busy for the day. Just make sure that nobody kills anybody, like just keep them entertained, right?
You say that sarcastically, but that's not all that sarcastic anymore. Yes. Unfortunately,
yeah, absolutely. But you're just a babysitter at that point. But when the first day that I stepped into the classroom here, you step in as a replacement for that teacher. You are taking actively that role as a teacher. So if Mr. or Mrs. Fix stepped out of the classroom, guess what? They are still here because we still have stuff to learn. I expect you to get it done. So it was such a surreal feeling being able to step into the classroom and you are physically the teacher for that day, which is great. And then our second grade teacher, Miss Lindbergh, retired last year. I had the opportunity to work with her second grade class a couple of times, like subbing for her or just coming in and helping like as an aide with her, and fell in love with just the curriculum. Watching her teach was just like, I loved it because she's so invested in these children. Teaching was not just a job, which talking to any teacher here, it's not just a job. Like, this is a lifestyle. This is something we come to work every day because we want to be here, not because we need to be here or to collect a paycheck or anything. Like, this is what we love. This is our passion. This is what we want to do. And seeing that emulated with the teachers, seeing the children happy to be here to learn every single day, to have such like small classrooms to where you can walk through the door and you know the names of every single kid here because it is such a small, tight-knit community. It draws you in. And once I started subbing here, like, that's it. I knew this is home.
Yeah. How many kids do you have in your class?
18.
18.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about the average size across the board?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, wow, that's remarkable. One in 18 mm-hmm. teacher-student ratio. That's, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're not going to find that anywhere else in Central Texas.
Well, you'll find that public schools will post that.
Oh, yeah.
But they include their aides. They include their special ed teachers. So it really cushions the numbers because there were times I had smoking class mirrors. Sizes of like 35 was not unheard of.
Mm-mm. So other than the fact that, Teresa, other than the fact that Rob was coming home and smiling and full of joy and willing – dying to share the experiences, what was the draw for you to come out of retirement and like in our last minute here come back to the schools?
It was a lot of the same things as Stacy's talking about. I was training teachers all over the country hearing the same complaints. We can't teach this. We can't teach this. Everything is scripted. And having gone through and trained teachers for 18 years and firmly believing in the ability to have discussions and to be able to have kids read authentic text and talk about them and then to be able to really get into them deeply, all of a sudden that's the curriculum here. Like, you get the freedom to pick the novels that impact kids and you get to decide how it's given to the students and having the discourse and the discussions. And guess what? If the discourse doesn't end that day, you can decide to continue it the next day. You don't have to cut things off. And then having parents,
too. So we're teaching children how to think.
Yes.
And how to draw their own conclusions.
Yes.
What a novel idea.
I know. Isn't it novel? It's absolutely amazing. And then our parents, too, like our substitute teachers, they're parents. So they have a vested interest to come in and carry where we left off. And
awesome.
The parents are involved in the education system here. And it's just all around. It's incredible from beginning to end.
Let me add this. Parent conference day in public schools, I would have to call MPs to bring somebody off of Fort Hood to a parent conference. Mm-hmm. Wow. Here, we post it, and out of 18 kids, I got 17 show up that day.
Wow.
And, you know, if I've got a parent, I posted grades, I think it was the first time, put them in the grade book, and within 5 minutes, I had a phone call going, what happened? Mm-hmm. My kid got a 90.
Mm-hmm.
And they always get hundreds. And I'm like, well, you know, they missed a couple of questions. I was like, do I need to come up there?
Yeah.
And sure. Let's do that.
To clarify. And go ahead. Sorry.
I've had the parent brought me a bottle of wine. He said, here, thanks for teaching our kids. Walk down the hall. Last year, I had a parent donate 2 pounds of gunpowder so I could blow stuff up in class.
There you go.
And I was like, where?
Hopefully you did that outside. Yeah, okay, sure.
Sure he did.
Hey, thanks very much. I really appreciate y'all carving time out of your schedules to come and sit down with us today. This has been a lot of fun, and it's just a joy. I can see the joy in your faces and the smiles, and it's painfully obvious that it is heartfelt. And,
well, we like being around each other.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
And we found out we live 3 miles apart.
Yep. Is that right?
And, you know, so God is definitely in the mix on this.
Amen.
I mean, all of this.
Amen.
Is
we have each other's backs for sure in this campus as well. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, thanks again for tuning in to this episode of School Spirit. And we hope you'll join us next week. We're going to do this again with another group of teachers. This was so much fun. We'll have another group next week. And remember, put on the armor of God.